Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
ESPN has suspended anchor Sage Steele for speaking the truth, and ESPN is now in a real bind. Steele made comments on a podcast that forcing vaccines on people is sick and scary. She went on to say that she took the shot, only to keep her job at ESPN because she loves her job and needs it. She also gave a negative opinion of Barack Obama. So what will ESPN do? This isn't some 60-year-old white guy they can kick to the curb. It's a young, empowered black woman. Exactly what they stand for and champion, right? Uh-oh. Speaking of bad television, have you seen Joe Biden's new TV set? They have literally built him his own TV studio so you can't see the teleprompters he's reading. It's equipped with fake backdrops of the White House, like you see fake backdrops of your skyline on the local news. Man, we've got a laundry list on this episode of fake things these people do. It's a big list. Kansas City, Missouri is voting to extend the mask mandate for 30 more days, despite the fact there is next to zero COVID in Kansas City right now. I've got the latest numbers. It is absolutely shocking how few people in a city of almost 2 million have COVID. The National League wildcard game was walk-off pandemonium for the Dodgers, but I don't think my mom was impressed. Many Royals fans are unique. Baseball ends for them when the Royals are done. All my mom wants to know is when Nicky Lopez is going to win the Gold Glove. He does have a chance. And a linebacker and a cornerback let go by other teams are quickly gobbled up, but not by the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs are getting ready for the Bills. Most people think the Chiefs are going to lose. We'll talk about it all on KKHI. Brought to you by Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, and Excelsior Springs. We talked yesterday a little bit about the service department at Roberts Robinson. They're fantastic. They'll pick your car up, service it, and take it back to you. The other thing they're really good at is building the exact GM product you want. You want a Chevy Silverado or Colorado? Maybe you're looking for a GMC Sierra or Canyon or one of the great Buick SUVs? Roberts Robinson customers say, we just make it easy, and they're right. You can get on the phone with them, get on your computer screen, and build the car. It takes about 10 minutes. They'll order it. It'll be in a few weeks. You'll have it exactly like you like it. They will apply every single discount for you that you qualify for. There's no reason to shop elsewhere. You will not be undersold. There are no gimmicks at Roberts Robinson. These are good, conservative people in Excelsior Springs, Missouri that live the way you and I live. You can trust them. You can trust them with fixing your car or getting you a new one. With Chevrolet, find new roads, Roberts Robinson online at robertsrobinson.com. Bstock.net, some great specials this week out of Bstock. I was there yesterday. I paid for the new TVs I'm putting in my new house. Went out there and saw Scott and the gang. Chris is out of town. They've got an unbelievable selection. This is not like going to most retail locations. It's a giant warehouse. The front of it is where the retail space is. It's just a whole bunch of TVs and computers and stuff lined up. You can walk around and pick through and see what they have. And they're all brand new in the box, including Vizio 70-inch V-Series TV for gamers, 4K HD picture, HDMI 2.1. Are you ready? $629. Bstock.net. How about a Samsung 70-inch 4K smart TV, $499. Model number on that is TU7000. I got a bunch of them out there. Ask about them on the showroom floor or go to bstock.net. Also, iPads and Apple TV, they still got a few of those left. They're hard to find. Entry-level iPads and iPad Pros, gobble them up at bstock.net, 14680 South Flaming Road. Window World, simply the best for less. Window World is the title sponsor of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. They're offering 0% financing right now on American-made windows and doors. Call 816-799-0820. They have literally improved the look and efficiency of thousands of homes in Kansas City over the last 25 years. Window World is simply the best for less. These are great products at great prices with great financing available and unbelievably professional installers. Call Window World for a free quote, whether it's one window or 100. 816-799-0820 for Window World, the official window of the Kansas City Chiefs. And Elite Automation. Online at eliteautomate.com. Make your building great again. This is about your HVAC control systems. You want maximum comfort and savings at your workplace, but you all want to be more profitable. They can help you lower the cost of what it costs to heat and air condition your building and run all your power. If you've got a warehouse or a plant, or you run a bunch of machinery, they can help simply as a consultant. It costs you nothing. They come out, they consult with you on how to save. When you save, you share with them. If you want to look at one of their control systems, that can save you even more. Call Brad or any team member at Elite Automation, a great Kansas City company. Anywhere in the country, they'll work with you. Anywhere. National company here. 913-766-2188. Online at EliteAutomate.com. What to do with Sage Steele? A young black woman has gone conservative rogue at ESPN. They've suspended her. Now what? On KKHI. Hit it!
Fry Orthodontics presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Your smile is just the start. Online at FryOrthodontics.com.
ESPN anchor Sage Steele has been taken off the air, I suspect temporarily, as they try to figure out how to go forward at ESPN after comments she made on Jay Cutler, the former quarterback's podcast, that has shown an awful lot of light on ESPN and the Disney Corporation and what it is like to work there. Sage Steele is an African-American woman. She has worked at ESPN for quite some time. She loves her job. She is encouraged in this position to do many interviews on different podcasts and things to promote ESPN and promote programming. She goes on the Jay Cutler podcast, and they start talking about all sorts of things. And she is then asked about mandating a vaccine in the United States of America. And she quotes to Jay Cutler, quote, "To mandate vaccines is sick, and it's scary to me." She went on to tell Jay Cutler that she got the vaccine only because it was a requirement to continue working at ESPN, that the Disney Corporation has essentially said, if you don't get the vaccine, you're going to lose your job. So Sage Steele, who appears to be a very nice woman, and she loves her job, she loves working at ESPN, she doesn't appear to have too much of an ego like some others that have been there, says, well, I don't like this, it's scary, but I love my job, I guess I'll do this. I'll take the chance and I'll do it. So she got the jab and she kept her job and she shared this story. She also went on to say during this interview that she doesn't understand why Barack Obama runs around and proclaims to be black, identifies as a black man, when his mom was white and she's the only one that raised him, that the dad was never around. Said she was raised by a white mom. As a white mom was raised by a white mom, why does he identify as black? And boy, oh boy, did the people at ESPN not like hearing that. I've said this before, and I don't know that it was, you know, said to confidence in any way, shape, or form. But, you know, Frank White is the Jackson County executive, and I've known Frank for a long, long time, and have been on very good terms with Frank. He was the first person I heard say that when Obama was president. I heard him say that. I didn't understand it at the time. I didn't understand identities. I didn't understand any of it. And, you know, we had talked on the air or something, and I'd asked him about some policy or Obama had thrown out a first pitch in a ball game or something. And I said something to him about, boy, you know, must be a really groundbreaking and proud moment for many Americans to see Barack Obama, a black president, is the first black president in the country. And on the air, he kind of sidestepped it and said, yeah, that was nice. He's doing a good job or something like that. And then afterwards, he's like, he ain't black. He's not black. I can't count the number of athletes I talked to. He said, Barack Obama's not black. He runs around as black. He ain't black. His mom was white and she raised him. It was the only parent he had. And no, he's not black. He's not a black American. So this is not new. I don't know how many African-Americans or black Americans think this. I don't really care, quite frankly. All I know is that Sage Steele brought it back up in an interview with Jay Cutler, and ESPN has no clue what to do with her. They have a giant mess on their hands. If they fire her, she becomes a whistleblower or an advocate, and she'll have a hell of a story to go out and sell. In fact, I would argue right now that Sage Steele's career, she could probably get gobbled up and hired by Fox News tomorrow if ESPN fired her. Her career could probably really take off. She's fairly high profile. She's got a good job at ESPN. I'm sure she makes fine money. ESPN has always been the haves and the have-nots. The people at the bottom make absolutely nothing. Local anchors on television stations make more than the people at the bottom at ESPN, but the people at the top, like Stephen A. Smith, make a pile. He makes millions of dollars a year doing his show and creating leftist controversy, which they think is good, woke controversy for ESPN. And so they like that. But Sage Steele comes along and does something like this. They do not know what to do with her. Imagine that. She is a woman. She's black. She's conservative, clearly. She did not want to take the jab. She has outwardly said now, they made me take it as a condition of employment. And she's on a podcast questioning why Barack Obama calls himself black. This is the Disney Corporation. And of all the corporations, all the big corporations in America, you can understand big tech comes along with young CEOs, young founders that go to leftist schools. You can understand how they became leftist corporations. Walt Disney must just be rolling over in his grave. I mean, he must just be, and the family, maybe there's members of the family the same way, the Disney family, they must just be sick over what the Disney Corporation has become, because it is as far left and progressive and woke as anything in America. And it basically was founded upon American, traditional American morals and values and programming for families. That's what the Disney Corporation is. Everything they've done, the Disney Corporation, since its inception has been about families, the traditional nuclear family in the United States, American morals. We exported that globally. It was great to export the American experience, American greatness all over the globe. And Disney's turned on that. All the, you know, people are complaining about Star Wars. They bought the Star Wars franchise. It's become woke. All these things they're doing have just completely changed. We know what their corporate culture is, and it's bled down to ESPN, and it's harmed ESPN. Yeah, I said all along, ESPN will be fine. It doesn't matter how many people cut the cable, cut the cord. Disney is a big corporation. They'll cut costs. They'll figure it out. They're still in gazillions of homes. People watch sports. ESPN isn't going anywhere. All right, it's not what it could be. It's not what it once was, but it isn't going anywhere. They're figuring it out, but they have no clue what to do with Sage Steele. This is a real bind. They have to take her back, don't they? They have to put her back on the air. I mean, the best thing ESPN could have is if this just gets swept under the rug, people don't know about it, forget about it, and put her back on the air. If they fire her, it becomes a big story, a really big story. Right now, they're just saying, "Whoo, it's too hot in our kitchen. We can't believe what she said." She said the mandates to vaccine in this country, it's sick and it's scary. Then she said, "I took it just to keep my job." And then in more questioning, she's like, "Why does Barack Obama call himself black? He ain't black. His mama was white and she's the only one that raised him. He doesn't know anything about the black experience in this country. He went to Harvard." I mean, she's just on it, man. Sage Steele, I know that you know who she is, and this isn't getting a whole lot of publicity, and I think Disney and ESPN want it that way. If it, in their world, this just kind of goes away, she comes back on the air, and it doesn't get any publicity. But you know what my podcast is. I try to find things that I think are big deals, that are big deals, that are underreported, and maybe it will become a big deal over the next few days. Maybe it will. I don't know if it will or not. I don't know. I know if this was a white man that said these things, this would be a termination, and that would be that, and nobody would bat an eye over it. They don't know what to do with Sage Steele. A black woman. I mean, that's everything that woke's about. We're putting her in a position of power, and putting her in a position of power means she has a voice. ESPN puts out a lame press release that says we believe in diversity and diversity of thought and all kinds of people speaking their minds, but there's a proper way to do it, and we don't believe that was followed here. So she didn't do it the right way. Why? Because it was too truthful? It was too honest for you? You couldn't handle the truth? This is a great story. This is a great story. We'll keep an eye on Sage Steele at a time where things are just bonkers. You know, we got Democrats infighting. We have far leftists chasing senators into bathrooms, heckling them on their boats because they won't vote for Biden's ridiculous $3.5 trillion, which is $5 trillion spending spree. His popularity is at an all-time low. This is a Quinnipiac poll, which is a leftist poll. Biden's approval rating is 38% in the United States of America. That is just dreadful. Mitch McConnell is striking a deal with them to extend the debt ceiling until December. I don't understand this. I don't understand this. I don't know why the Republicans don't back out and say, look, they have the House, they have the Senate, they have the White House. We got no say in this. Our hands are tied. In fact, it'd be kind of cool if all the Republicans on Capitol Hill just went to work one day you know, handcuffed or hand tied and make a big show of support. Like, our hands are tied, America, sorry, we can't help you. You did this. You made this mess, right? They say they won these elections. This is on you. Change it at the ballot box. We can't help you. We can't bail you out. There's nothing we can do to change the discourse in this country. All of the ridiculousness that's going on out there, we can't do it. We need you to elect more of us, and we'll stop it. We'll stop the craziness if you elect more of us. No, Mitch works out a deal to extend this debt ceiling, and I, for the life of me, I don't understand it. If you don't extend it and you have to shut down parts of the government, isn't that a win? And isn't that just a win? This whole thing is so stupid and fake. I keep thinking I'm going to wake up or pinch myself, and this isn't real. This cannot be happening in the United States. Joe Biden has built, in a separate building from the White House, he has built his own TV studio to go in and do his photo ops. Have you seen this thing? He went in and got the jab last week, and he stood in front of a window, and people were looking out the window like, look at those pretty flowers. Like, it's pretty late in the year for those flowers to be in bloom. What is this all about? Well, it's outed now. They built a TV studio. They built a set. It's fake. It looks like Mr. Rogers' set. Somebody called it the Truman Show. It's fake, which is everything the Democrats are. They're completely fake. You got to see this. If you haven't seen it, look online. It's crazy. The wide shots that reporters have taken of this thing, it's a giant soundstage. It's Hollywood. It's up on a platform. It looks like a game show set. He's got a couple of windows behind him. There's some desks there. So when Biden does things now, he has a television studio, so he doesn't have those funny little teleprompters that sit in front of you in the podium where you look left and right. You know what I'm talking about? Those little plexiglass shields. Those are teleprompters. No, no. This is a TV studio. You can't even see the cameras. They're hidden back in a wall. It's a giant camera with a giant monitor and a giant screen. He could just sit there and read it. And nobody else can see it but him. It's perfectly built to where no camera can catch it. Nobody can see that Biden's reading. It's fake. The whole thing's fake. Anybody with a brain in this country knows that all of this stuff is fake. It's a complete and total joke. These people are absolute frauds and fakes. Rashida Tlaib, the congresswoman, is caught this weekend at an event where she's doing a meet and greet on the street. They're outside. Of course, they're outside, and they're all wearing masks. The one guy isn't. He appears to be in charge. She's there to meet him. I don't know exactly what the event was. And she says, yeah, well, the guy without the mask, and she's joking. And he goes, oh, I'm so sorry. Do I need to put my mask on? And she pulls her mask down and says, no, you don't need to put your mask on. It's okay. I'm only wearing mine because this Republican film crew follows me everywhere. And then she puts it back up and laughs. And it's true. The only reason she's wearing it is because there's a conservative Republican film crew that follows her everywhere she goes in public. And so she keeps it on. She's been at festivals. She's been at concerts. She's been at events. She ain't got a mask on. She's not wearing a mask. Rashida Tlaib, she's part of the people that tell you to wear masks. That doesn't apply to her. Quentin Lucas is the same way. He goes to the lake. He does whatever he wants. He goes and do a BLM protest and gets down on his knee and doesn't have a mask on with the protesters. He don't care. These rules aren't for him. They're for you and only you. It's all fake. It's just ridiculous. All of this insanity. And ESPN is the same way with Sage Steele and all these other items. They all fit into one neat little box, one category. It's fake liberalism. Canada's Justin Trudeau has jumped the shark, and I hate that term, but this is it. This is, I don't even know what this is. This is so crazy to me. I don't care what this is. I don't know what this is, but you got to hear it. So jumping the shark is an old reference to a show called Happy Days back in the 80s, maybe 70s and 80s. And Fonzie was the coolest guy on the show. He was a giant celebrity, huge star in America. Fonzie, hey, cool, the Fonz. Well, they kept trying to make him cooler and cooler and cooler. And when Jaws came out or shark movies came out, they had Fonzie get on his bike and try to jump his motorcycle over a shark tank and see if he'd live. You know, this very dangerous stunt. It's called jumping the shark. That's when the show went too far, and that was the end of Happy Days. It was like, okay, this is ridiculous now. This is insane. So jumping the shark became a term, a lexicon. And so I think Justin Trudeau in Canada has jumped the shark. He gave a speech, and he started talking about marginalized people because of their sexuality. And I cannot figure out the they-them thing. And I'm watching last night. I'm going to get back to Trudeau. I'm flipping around channels, and I saw this sitcom on, and I thought, okay, this is interesting. There's some funny lines. And then these people go out to a club. It's a married couple, then the husband's brother who's single, and two women who are a gay married couple with two little girls. And I'm like, which I didn't know until I got into it, and I thought, oh boy. Because the first few minutes, I thought, this is kind of funny. There's some funny things here. They go out to this club. They start doing this stuff. And then these two women who are like in their maybe 40s run into at the club, like 21-year-old they-thems. I don't know. I don't know how to say this. It's females, if you ask me, although one of them was what we used to describe as butch. I don't know if that's proper or not. Had the boy's haircut, was dressed like a boy, and what was clearly a woman, and with another woman. And then the comedy of this was these young, they said they weren't lesbians. I forget what they said they were, because the two other women, the older women, are lesbians. They say, yeah, we're lesbians. And they're like, well, that's such a, you know, 1990s term or something. And then they got into the they-them thing, and I'm like, whoa, I'm not watching this anymore. I can't follow it. The one person walks away, a single human being walks away, and then they all refer to that person as they-them left. They left. Like, they left. I saw one person leave. They? So Justin Trudeau is giving us, we can't vote for this stuff. We can't. This can't stand. This cannot. They have to be past the point of no return at this point. Canada's Justin Trudeau is giving a speech, and he's talking about marginalized people. And he refers to problems that we have in kidnapping or crimes of some sort against, this is legitimate, folks. Follow me. Grab your scorecard and grab a pencil. Against 2SLGBTQQIA+ people. There's no way these people are winning elections. I looked it up last night, and I'll be honest, for the first time, I was a little scared of doing a Google search. I'm just on my phone, and I do the Google search. I'm like, they know what I'm searching. I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried. I'm looking it up on my iPhone, and I Google search percentage of gay Americans, because I'm curious. I don't know. What pops up is most Americans think 25% of our population is not heterosexual. That's polling. Polling suggests that Americans on average believe 25% of this country is a different sexuality than heterosexual. I'm not going to list them all. I can't. That's what Americans believe. The number is 4%. 96% of America is heterosexual. Hell, half the entertainment and news and things that we see is about the other 4%. It's everywhere. It's way overexposed, which is why you have 4% of your population that has a different sexuality than heterosexuals. 4%. 4%. And so Americans think it's 25% because they're watching TV, they're online, they're reading this, they see social media, and it's just jammed down our throat. And we have guys like Canada's Justin Trudeau giving a speech where he says 2SLGBTQQIA+ people are marginalized. Nobody knows what that means. I mean, nobody. And he doesn't get any trouble for stuff like that. People who get in trouble are Sage Steele, who say things that are pretty commonplace and easy to understand, like to mandate people to put medicine in their body is sick and scary. And then questioning why Barack Obama identifies as black, because this is where identity, it's all about identity politics, right? We're identity. Boy, if you're anything other than a white person, you want to identify. You want to say, if you're a white heterosexual, you don't get to identify. You have to run from that identity. If you're a non-white or not heterosexual, you want to identify. You want to be out there, okay? You want to do it. So Obama, two-term president, based on the fact that he's the first black president. Sage Steele's saying, no, he's not. No, he's not. But we're sitting here kowtowing to the 4% or whatever, and that's what dominates our headlines. None of this stuff makes any sense. It's just absolutely bonkers. F. Joe Biden chants popping up everywhere. Like everywhere. The latest, Fenway Park on Monday night. Bunch of dudes out in left field firing it up. Oh, a landowner in Michigan. It looked like little white circles. he in a giant lawn. It's not a farm. It wasn't a farm field. But two of these helicopters flew over. I don't know that Biden was one of them. These looked like security helicopters around the motorcade. But you could clearly see that he had this giant sign in his backyard that said F Joe Biden. There's now a little bit of a 180 taking place as people are starting to chant, "Let's go, Brandon." Brandon Brown was the NASCAR driver over the weekend that won a lower-level race, not the big cup race at Talladega. He won a lower-level race, and as they were interviewing him on NBC, behind him, a bunch of fans were chanting in the stands. They were chanting, "F Joe Biden." And the announcer said, "Wow, they really love you. Listen to them. They're chanting, 'Let's go, Brandon.'" And they weren't. They were chanting F Joe Biden. So some really clever conservatives now at events who really know what's going on, that don't want to be as uncouth as using the F word, shouting it out in front of children or whatever, are starting to chant all over the country, "Let's go, Brandon." It's become a battle cry and a hashtag on social media. "Let's go, Brandon. Just so you know, this is what we do here at KKHI. Just so you know, if anybody walks up to you and says, 'Let's go, Brandon,' just give them a thumbs up." What they're saying is F Joe Biden without saying F Joe Biden. "Let's go, Brandon" is also F Joe Biden. I think that's funny. And I said a few weeks ago when I heard these chants were busting out, I said, I think there's got to be a more clever way to get your point across. And I think the clever way now is just turn the whole thing over to "Let's go, Brandon." I think that's hysterical. Because people on the left will start to say, "What is that? What is that? What is that?" Because they won't know. This is what they do to us. They come up with stuff that we have no idea what it is, like 2SLGBTQQIA+. They come up with that, and you're like, "I don't know what the hell that is. I have no clue what that is." People on the left are going to hear people chanting, "Let's go, Brandon," and go, "What is that?" They'll Google it. They'll try to figure it out. That's the way you make a difference. Then they'll find out, oh, it was a lame NBC reporter who didn't know the fans were chanting F Joe Biden and thought the fans were saying, "Let's go, Brandon," for a race car driver nobody's heard of. You know, I mean, this isn't Kyle Busch. You know, "Let's go, Kyle." This is Brandon Brown. Nobody knows who he is. That makes it even better. That's even funnier. Nobody knows who this guy is, and he's viral now. "Let's go, Brandon." That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. I continue to get emails from you about school boards and craziness at school boards. There's a lot of that going on out there. The Shawnee Mission School District in particular, I get a lot of emails on about their diversity, equity, inclusion training. It's a 5-year plan. It's mandatory. They have closed meetings now. They will not let the public see what's going on. The people that are in charge are crazy leftists. One of the men that's in charge of this thing, I watched a YouTube video that a listener sent me. And in the first minute of the thing, in his first answer, he says, we don't denigrate people and do this and that. We're about inclusion and no borders. It's all about no borders. There's no borders. There should be no borders in the world. We're all one people. It's those folks. And then in the same answer, without being asked another question, he starts mocking and making fun of Christians. I'm like, what? These people are so freaking stupid. In one answer, he says, we need to be one world, one people. We don't denigrate people. We accept everyone for who they are based on nothing. We don't care where they're from, what they look like, what their sexual orientation is, what their economic situation is. We don't care. One world, no borders. That's what the entire interview is about on YouTube with this guy. No borders. Then he starts mocking Christians. You can't make it up. So here's what I'm asking you to do. If you want to send me an email about a person running for school board next month, running for a county office or a city office, you know, like small things that most people don't look up, we'll encourage everyone to go vote. And before the election, the week before the election, I'm going to do a verbal cheat sheet, and I'll do it alphabetically by community, by city or county. And we'll go, I live in Lenexa. So Lee's Summit would be before Lenexa. Or, you know, Shawnee Mission School District would be before Wyandotte. I'll just go down the list. I don't know how complete it will be. I don't know how many people will email me. I don't want long emails. Please don't do that. I can't read them all. I'm getting swamped with a lot of these things, and I really pride myself on replying to all these. If I get a lot of these, I'm not going to reply to them. Here's what all I'm asking you to do. Tell me about your school board or your city council or your county position, something of that nature. Just send me the name of the conservatives that are running. Send me the names of the good guys. That's it. Just send me the good guys. Listen, they can be rhinos as far as I'm concerned. The Shawnee Mission School District is 7-0 on all this critical race stuff. So they got to find four people here to overthrow this thing. Send me anyone that is not liberal, just their names, and I'm going to create a list, and I'll do a verbal list on a podcast for thousands of people to be able to write it down and keep it as a cheat sheet and walk into the poll and vote and know which is which. Until we can identify these people as Republican or Democrat, this is too hard, and we need to find a way to organize. This is a small thing we're doing. I'm not big enough to make a huge difference, but I'm telling you, if you can get 20 or 30 votes on some of these smaller elections, it can be a big deal. So send those in to me. My email is kevin@kksissues.com, and let me know who's running, and just tell me the good guys. Don't tell me who they're running against. I need to know the position, okay, they're running for, where it's happening, and the name. That's it. And you can send me more than one. If you know three good conservatives that are running for, you know, Kansas City, Missouri School Board, let me know who they are, and we'll give it out in any way that we can. Speaking of Kansas City, Missouri, they're voting to extend the mask mandate for 30 more days. Woo, this is great. This is so good. 30 more days, why not? You people are idiots. Idiots. What do you think the rolling average of cases per week is in Kansas City with 2 million people right now? 2 million citizens. We got 5 counties. We got visitors coming and going. We got an airport. We got Amtrak. We have buses. We have interstates. We got people coming in and out from other places. We're right in the middle of the country. A lot of people coming through, passing through, going into restaurants, pumping gas, peeing next to you at the urinal, the interstate truck stop. We got it all right here. We got to have 30 more days of masks because our rolling average in this vibrant city is 247 cases. That's a rolling weekly average. 247 is our weekly average. Cases, not hospitalizations, not deaths. They're trying to tell you the ICUs are over jammed. We have 247 cases. This is just crazy. And they're going to extend the mask mandate in Kansas City, Missouri, because of course they are. It's what they do. Knock yourself out. That's another 30 days I'm staying out of Kansas City, Missouri. That's an easy call for me. We are brought to you by Amazing Garage Floors online at amazinggaragefloors.net. Just check them out online. You want a new garage floor? You want to seal your driveway? This is your guy, John Hutchins. Great veteran. Serve with honor. Amazinggaragefloors.net. 360 Document Solutions online at 360documentsolutions.com. Think of this as your consultant for your business operations around your office. IT solutions, mailing systems, copiers, printers, you name it. They'll save you money, make you more efficient and profitable. Check them out online. They'll come to your business anywhere in the state of Kansas, anywhere in the state of Kansas, or anywhere in Western Missouri. 360documentsolutions.com. Back 9 Development in the Solheim Condominiums at Grandmere with a pool, workout facility, covered parking, upscale living as a second home, an investment property, or for college kids on the Colbert Hills Golf Course with beautiful views of the gorgeous Flint Hills. It's unique. There's nothing like it anywhere in the Midwest. Check out the Solheim at Grandmere at back9development.com. And of course, Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch. It's fall. Gary says it's time to fall in love with Joslyn's. They got all kinds of great gifts for this fall. If you have an anniversary coming up like I do later this month, yeah. Or you want to do a little early shopping for the holiday season, it's all at Joslyn's, the jewelry you'll recommend to your friends and family. Okay, so an unbelievable end to the baseball game on Wednesday night, the Dodgers over the Cardinals. Cardinals won a record 17 in a row and came from nowhere to make the wild card, and this was a great baseball game. The Red Sox-Yankees didn't live up the billing, but baseball's like that. It, you know, the Sox won, and everybody's happy with that, and the Yankees are in turmoil, may fire their manager, who knows what's going to happen. That's all good. I'm cool with that. It's hard to root for the Yankees, period. But the drama of the wild card is like what the Royals had in the extra inning game against the A's. The drama in the wild card is what the Dodgers did last night. The Dodgers went out and won 106 games and couldn't win their division. They went 20-5 in September. They started the 1st of September. The Dodgers were one game back of the Giants. They went out and went 20-5 down the stretch and didn't win the division because the Giants went 20-5. Now, this is crazy. So this is nothing against the Cardinals, but, and I had a lot of friends saying they thought it'd be funny if the Dodgers won 106 games and lost the wild card and didn't continue on. Yes, that would have been humorous. I want to see these two teams play each other in a series. I want to see the Dodgers and the Giants play each other, and that's what's going to happen. If you missed it, get online today, find the highlight, Google it. Chris Taylor comes out with two outs in the ninth inning of a 1-1 pitcher's duel and hits a two-run homer of Alex Reyes, and the Dodgers win it 3-1, and pandemonium ensues at Dodger Stadium. It was unbelievable, and it was a well-played game, and the pitchers were phenomenal. I mean, just great. Max Scherzer's a stud. I love this guy. Scherzer comes out. He pitches for the Dodgers. Now, it's hard to keep track of some of these things, but he's a Dodgers pitcher. He goes like 4 1/3, and he's not his best, but his not best is excellent. He gave up a solo home run, and the manager comes out to take him out of the game, and, you know, the manager reaches out for the ball, and you're supposed to hand the manager the ball. When the manager reaches for the ball, Max Scherzer shakes his hand. He keeps the ball in his glove, like behind his back, and just shakes his hand like, hey, good to see you. I'm not giving you this ball. And he's trying to talk him out of it. I love Max Scherzer. I love this guy. And you're going to get to see him pitch now in the NLDS against the Giants, which is great because he's a guy that could go out literally and throw 130 pitches and pitch 9 innings. He's just a warrior. He's fantastic. So unbelievably great baseball. I have not called my mom yet to see if she stayed up and watched that. When I asked my mom, are you going to be watching the postseason? She's like, mm-hmm. I said, Mom, it's the wild card game. You remember going to the wild card game with me? I went with my mom, and we went with Trent Green and his son. We had four seats right there together. So me and my mom, Trent Green and his son, who came to the game late because he was finishing up a practice at Rockhurst High School. And so he didn't get there until like the second inning. So just great stuff, great memories of that wild card game, sitting with people like that. Trent and his son are great people. And my mom, and she just, I said, Mom, this is the drama. This is what baseball's all about. She says, yeah, maybe I'll peek around. I got my shows are coming on now. And so, like, she's pretty much done with baseball. She says, all I want to know is when will we know if Nicky Lopez wins the gold glove? That's just fabulous. And I like that because most Royals fans are like that. They like the Royals. They like the Royals players. And they really don't care about the rest of baseball. Most people just don't. Most people, not necessarily the listeners to this podcast, but most, the Royals have a big television audience. They get giant ratings. It's a big, big audience. Like the highest rated thing in Kansas City, next to Chiefs games, but the regular programming all summer long, the Royals are tops on TV. They do the best. A lot of people watch, and a lot of those people simply aren't watching once the Royals season is over. They just like watching their team and their players. And she wants to know if Nicky Lopez is going to win the gold glove. Nicky Lopez famously didn't make the team out of spring training after being up for a gold glove at second base last year because he's an excellent defensive player. I happen to think he's the second or third best defensive shortstop the Royals have, but the Royals really like him. He is more sure-handed probably than Mondesi and Witt, but I don't know that he would get to nearly as many balls. So to me, it's all about range at shortstop, and they have metrics for that sort of thing. But Nicky Lopez has a chance to win the gold glove. He was that good at shortstop this year. She doesn't really care if Salvi wins. You know, Salvi's won 5, so Salvi wins another. Whit Merrifield, Michael A. Taylor could win the gold glove in center field. I didn't personally see it. I know statistically it proves out, and he threw a lot of runners out. I didn't see it with Michael A. Taylor. I saw a lot of balls that got near the wall or the warning track that he misplayed, that he didn't catch. I'm not saying he's afraid of the wall or anything like that. He just seemed a little uncoordinated or awkward at times with some catches. That's just me. But we have a history here of really fluid center fielders from my childhood, Amos Otis to Willie Wilson, Lorenzo Cain. We've seen some studs out there that can run balls down that just looked more coordinated than Michael A. Taylor. At times, Taylor looks a little Gumby-ish, I guess would be what I'd say. He looks like his arms are flailing around and he doesn't really, it looks a little awkward to me, but he might win it. The Royals have 4 players that are all up for gold gloves, and we'll see if Nicky Lopez is the gold glove winner because that is truly what my mom cares about. She doesn't really care about the playoffs. I'll work on her. I'm going to ask her. I'll email her a video clip. I think she knows how to play that. I'll email her a video clip of the walk-off by the Dodgers and see if that gets her excited to watch any of the playoffs. We shall see. Well, the Chiefs didn't get Jalen Smith from the Cowboys, the linebacker, and they didn't get Stephon Gilmore from the Patriots, the cornerback. So here's how this all went down. Jalen Smith signed with the Green Bay Packers, according to reports, for a one-year deal. The Cowboys are on the hook for $7 million this year. They basically cut him. They're tearing that contract up. So there's nothing lost next year for the Packers. They signed Smith to a brand new deal this year. Smith collects his $7 million that Dallas owes him, signs a one-year deal, and goes in and tries to prove that he's a fine player and get a new contract. Here's what you're hoping if you're a Chiefs fan. You're hoping this doesn't work out for Green Bay. Because if he plays well for Green Bay, we're all going to say, what the hell, Chiefs? Why isn't he here as bad as the Chiefs linebackers are? So watch out for Jalen Smith, who last year graded out as the 11th best linebacker in the entire NFL. Packers got him. Couldn't have been a bidding war. It's not going to be a big contract. It happened very fast. Maybe that's where he wanted to play. Maybe he wanted to play in the NFC. Maybe he wanted a chance to play against the Cowboys in the playoffs. I don't know. The Chiefs didn't get him. Stephon Gilmore is the cornerback we've talked about from New England that was said to be released. But just prior, at the 23rd hour before being released, the Carolina Panthers come in and sign this two-time Pro Bowler, who a lot of people think is a still amazingly talented cornerback. But the Patriots are in a spot of transition. They were not going to sign him to a long-term deal. So it was time for him to go. They're moving on and checking out younger players. They're clearly not a big playoff threat. So they're doing the right things in New England, letting him go. But the Panthers swooped in and traded a sixth-round pick for this corner. Well, if Stephon Gilmore goes on to play with the Panthers for five more years and is a Pro Bowl cornerback, that could have been the Chiefs too. So this is in some way disappointing. You know, the Chiefs need defensive help more than offensive help. They went out and got offensive help last week. We've talked a great deal about that. But they need defensive help. And there's a couple of players that maybe could have that it looks like didn't cost hardly anything for the teams that they went to. I mean, next to nothing. Meanwhile, in Kansas City, Frank Clark and Willie Gay are back on the practice field. That's a good sign. Frank Clark has been juggling all these legal troubles and a hamstring and this and that, but I think Frank Clark is going to play on Sunday night. It's pretty rare to practice on Wednesday and not play on Sunday night. Chris Jones sat out of practice, and I don't really like this. I think it's a bad look for Chris Jones. He had a miserable game on Sunday, and a lot of times veterans, I would assume that he'll practice Thursday. Chris Jones, a lot of times veterans are allowed to take a day off because they're the kind of the spoiled ones and, hey, you know, rest is good for me or whatever. These practices aren't grueling. Chris Jones has a wrist injury. I mean, this isn't a knee. This isn't a turned ankle. This isn't his shoulder. You know, something he's going to be banging into. It's a wrist. Yes, you use your hands if you're a defensive lineman, but come on. He's not throwing passes with that wrist. Chris Jones sitting out, to me, looks like an excuse. I think it's, here's my excuse for why I didn't play well Sunday. Now I missed practice, and we're talking about my injury. We've changed the conversation from Chris Jones sucked, okay, in the last couple of games, to, especially last week, to, oh, Chris Jones is hurt and had to sit out of practice. Oh, that explains it. That explains why he didn't play well. This is what veterans do, and they're allowed to do it. And as crazy as it sounds, a guy like Andy Reid kind of has to let a guy like this do it. You're just hoping that he turns the switch. He flips the switch at some point this year, and Chris Jones is Chris Jones. It's what we all want to see. It's a long season. It's a shorter season now. There's only 13 games to go. I don't know what he thinks his number is, where he can turn it up and just go rev his motor and play it at 100% the whole way. Maybe the Chiefs should be rotating some of these guys in and out a little bit more. I don't have the answer. I'm just saying this looks like an excuse to me to change the conversation. I don't care what it is. Chris Jones has got to play better. He's got to play better. And I don't care whether he's splitting time between two positions or anything. Beat your man. Beat your man. You're getting paid to beat your man. Go beat your man and get to the runner or the quarterback. That's your job. Chiefs play the Bills Sunday Night Football. We'll have much more on that and what's coming up with Lee Sterling as we'll do the Paramount picks in a separate podcast. And we'll do much more Chiefs stuff over there. But I've noticed that everybody is picking the Bills. Everybody this week is picking the Bills to beat the Chiefs. And you know what? It includes me. If you're putting a gun to my head right now saying pick the winner, I'm going with Buffalo. You know why? They play defense, and the Chiefs don't. Will the Chiefs score some points on Buffalo? Of course. Yes. Will Buffalo make the Chiefs punt? Yep. Yep. Chiefs are going to punt Sunday night. Chiefs are going to punt. I don't know if Buffalo's going to punt. I mean, Buffalo's offense isn't as good as Kansas City's, but I don't know if they're going to punt. I assume they will a time or two. They don't really have a great running game. Their best way to run the ball, by and large, in Buffalo has been the quarterback scrambling, Josh Allen. I just don't. You can't feel good. Where the Chiefs' defense is, you cannot feel like, okay, here comes a complete football team to Arrowhead. This is the best team the Chiefs have faced this year. They're better than all the others. This is the best team the Chiefs have faced. And it's probably the best team the Chiefs will face this year. Maybe the Packers. It's probably the best team the Chiefs will face. Certainly the most complete team, being good on both sides of the ball. So it's hard for me right now to say I think the Chiefs are going to win. So I reserve the right to change my mind on a later podcast, but right now I'm going with Buffalo as well until the Chiefs surprise me. Change my mind. It's on you. It's not on me. Change my mind. Show me that you're a complete football team and not like the seventh best team in football. And because there's the NFL, the roadside is littered with teams that were great on one side of the ball and not very good on the other. It's littered with teams whose seasons just crashed and burned there in a ditch and didn't get to a Super Bowl. You cannot be one-dimensional in this league. They've got to find some defense or the Chiefs are not going to make it to the Super Bowl. All right, that's it for KKHI on this Thursday morning. Glad to have you with us. Please continue to hit the like or follow button if you know people and can share the podcast with them and let them know about it. Tell them to hit like or follow wherever they listen. Help them out with their device if they need it, you know, through Apple Podcasts or Podbean or wherever it may be. We really appreciate you helping out with folks because a lot of people still, like less than half the people in our area, or less than, I think it's about 38% of the people in the country, listen to podcasts. So that's growing every year. It's usually going up 2 or 3% every year. So we're getting there, and eventually it's going to be a big number. People love podcasts. People who listen to podcasts love them, and they get hooked on them and addicted to them, and they like them just because it's a cleaner, easier way to do things like talk radio instead of the static on AM and all the commercial breaks and all those things. So people like it. You might tell your friends about it and have them hit the like or follow button. I greatly appreciate that. If you'd like to sign up as a patron, you can still get the baseball preview podcast with Danny Klinkskill. It's outstanding breakdown of the Major League Baseball playoffs. $5 a month or more. If you want to go sign up for that, go to kkhasissues.com, click on Become a Patron, or you will also on Thursday get Lee Sterling's Thursday night selection. It's a free pick every Thursday night for patrons only. And it's right there on the Patron podcast. We just do a short little separate podcast for you every week. And Lee gives you his Thursday night special, absolutely free for being a patron of KKHI. So go get signed up and get the Thursday night play tonight and win with us. All right, just go to kkhasissues.com, click on Become a Patron. Get it done. And remember, wherever you go, just tell people, anyone on the street, that Kevin Keatsman has issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.